Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Dave Schrader, your slightly weirded out host. That guy over there cuddling a blanket and rocking underneath the desk, that's Tim Dennis. And I got to tell everybody, hey, True Car has been a proud sponsor of Beyond the Darkness for years. So we want to partner with them to hear all about your True Car experience. And you may even get an Amazon gift card to kick off your summer. Well, how do you do that? Just hold on. I'll let you know. We want to hear all about your True Car shopping experience. So send us an email to truecar@podcastone.com. That's truecar@podcastone.com. Tell us about your shopping experience with True Car. The first 200 people to email will receive a $20 Amazon gift card. So you have to send in your email soon. We can't wait to hear from you. All right, let's get right into it. We've got a hell of a show lined up for you here. Our buddy David Race joining us in just a few moments. We're going to be talking celebrity paranormal stories. And to give everybody a little bit of catch up on our guest, he is the host of Monstrosity. It is the latest podcast creation from Los Angeles comedian, host, and paranormal enthusiast David Race. Each episode features comedians and or celebrities chatting with David and a paranormal expert. The show unfolds and changes from minute to minute, veering from creepy and terrifying tales to comedy gold. The show has featured guests like Lonnie Anderson, Robert Carradine, cast members from Seinfeld, The Hangover, Shameless, and The Brady Bunch. Chatting with Matt Moneymaker from Finding Bigfoot, Jan Harzin, the executive director of MUFON, and more. The show's website is monstrositypodcast.com. The host, David Race, is with us here today. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Listen, it is Saturday. We're pre-recording, of course, our Sunday program. But you guys got hit twice with pretty big-size earthquakes. 6.4 the other day. Yesterday, Friday, you guys got another 7.1. How are you? Are you okay?
I'm fine. They were big, though. I mean, I've been in L.A. a long time, and we're all used to earthquakes. Usually here a little while, you encounter them, and they're usually just kind of one thud or, you know, maybe, I don't know, 5 seconds of shaking or moving or whatever. It's never that big a deal. It's much more hyped up around the country by people who haven't been through it. But these two were pretty good. The second one was particularly long and, you know, startling.
What's considered long for an earthquake, David?
I'd say this went on for a full minute. I mean, a full minute of the walls of your house just shaking and shaking and moving and shaking and rolling, cruise ship feeling like that.
Sounds like my house after a bottle of champagne with my wife, if you know what I mean.
We were dizzy. You felt like you had that seasick feeling from a cruise or something.
That's crazy.
I mean, in your own house.
Yeah, luckily I've never been there for an earthquake, but I'm a little worried about you guys. They say there might be more coming, especially from that same area. They don't think it's going to trigger other faults. I don't know how it can't trigger other faults when something is shaking that bad and it's going out over an expanse from California to Nevada, Arizona.
I actually, you know, that's a, I heard something disturbing last night on CNN. I was watching some of the coverage, and they were saying that this fault line, in the way it stretches, it actually goes in two different directions. And it's not your typical fault line. It actually goes the opposite direction of the San Andreas fault line, but then it goes in a completely opposite direction, too, in that it's spreading. And so, and they're saying that you could feel the effects of this for up to a year, so that you guys could be going through this up to a year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
aren't
that's
we
not
a little
right
ray
news.
Of sunshine on this day for you?
Trying not to, you know.
It's scary when it goes on that long, and it was as strong as it was. It could have been a lot worse, and I mean, not to take anything away from the people in Ridgeview or wherever the heck it was somewhere way out in the desert, I think, where the actual center was. But if that earthquake last night had been centered more or less in Los Angeles, basically anywhere within the city of Los Angeles, we'd be talking about major national disaster on television right now. You'd be watching wall-to-wall coverage of, you know, big buildings in Hollywood proper that drop.
Yikes, that is really terrifying. Well, I won't be making another visit to Los Angeles for a while, I'm hoping. Glad to have got in and out of there quickly before all this hit, but keep safe and keep us updated and let me know how you're doing on this. All right, talking about time that seems to stop and go on forever, I saw the movie Midsommar yesterday. And are you a horror movie fan as well, David?
Well, some of them, but generally no, not on the overall, but sometimes once in a while. Go ahead.
Well, here's what I'll say. There was a movie that came out a few years ago called Hereditary. And I first of all, want to give kudos to any writer and director that thinks outside the box when it comes to horror and that they're willing to explore different things that can be perceived creepy. And the people behind Hereditary are back with a new movie called Midsommar. And it's a, first of all, it's a 2-hour and 20-minute, I hate to call it a horror movie because I think of Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees and Saw as horror movies. This was more like a psychological thriller through most of it. So I guess that would be the closest genre I could pigeonhole this movie into, but it's original. I'll give it that. It's just, I don't like any movie that stretches past 2 hours because I just feel like they could have done some trimming of the fat. But overall, beautifully shot movie. Mm-hmm. It is well acted. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely original and interesting. It's kind of a folkloric horror movie, if that makes sense. They take the folklore of this Midsummer festival in Sweden at this kind of very interesting commune.
It's like an adult fairy tale? Is that a good way of putting it? Like an adult scary fairy tale?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that's very good. Our friend Katie Hart said, you know, it's kind of part Wicker Man, part Eyes Wide Shut, and a dash of Tusk, which should be enough to make me want to throat punch anybody. But this has its own originality to it. So I'm going to give them this. You know, it's something like I walked out of Hereditary, and I can't tell you the last movie that made me walk out thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I enjoy a good movie to just go in and be entertained. And to go into a movie that has the horror stamp on it and actually walk out thinking, that's kind of impressive that they can get you doing that. I walked out of Hereditary thinking and wondering what all of it meant and, you know, how they put this story together because it was so strange and unusual. This is also has that same feel to it. And actually, the 2 hours and 20 minutes doesn't feel that long. It feels like it's about a 2-hour movie.
Right.
But it is it's weird. It's just flat out a weird flick. And out of 5 stars, I would go with a solid 3 stars.
Yeah, that's what I did.
On
yeah.
this one, yeah. Just because, you know, again, and I think that was only in the pacing. But I didn't mind it because it kind of felt also like you were watching one of those National Geographic specials about festivals mm-hmm. and certain things. So some of it was, like I said, it was all beautifully shot. So it gives you kind of this documentary feel. It's there are so many different kind of slots that this fits into, but I would give it a solid 3 out of 5 stars. And if you're looking for something unique, and if you loved Hereditary, I think you're going to absolutely love Midsommar. So go check it out. That's out in theaters right now.
But when the worm turns on this thing, it turns, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they kind of telegraph it to me through the whole thing. You know that from start to finish, once they go to this festival, something, it's just too beautiful. And I think that's what makes the horror of it so much more unsettling, because it's you know, to me, and David, maybe you can relate with this, with, you know, you go to a place like Waverly Hills Sanitarium to investigate ghosts. It's creepy. So when you have an encounter, it may not impact you as much as if you're at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, which is this beautiful, you know, structure and on this beautiful part of land. And then it just, it's more unsettling when something paranormal happens there because it doesn't match your perception of what a haunted house should look like. Well, this movie is a beautiful structure that has this dark underpinnings, and it can be very unsettling. And I think that might be the best way to say it, is I was never terrified, but you're left unsettled through most of this movie, feeling ill at ease and kind of not exactly on the edge of your seat, but definitely writhing and wriggling in your seat at some of the uncomfortable nature of the scenes. So it's, like I said, well worth a watch if you want something original. And if you loved Hereditary, you're going to love this movie as well. So go check that out. That's my nickel sense on the entire movie. Tim did a review of it yesterday. I didn't, you know, he thought I was going to hate the movie. I didn't hate it. Like I said, I thought it was interesting. And I love that somebody is still willing to take a chance at originality when it comes to thrillers and horror movies. Because I think that's one of the biggest problems Hollywood faces, is how stale it gets with some of the stuff that it produces. Is that why you have no interest in horror movies, David? Or are you just not a fan of the genre?
No, when I think of horror movies, I think of like the, you know, the straight out, you know, The Ring and,
right.
You know, guy in a hockey mask with a knife, you know, killing 20 people. Like those, I didn't grow up watching those that much. Those, that probably scared me too much. Remember, you know, Frady Cat is my middle name. I mean, I'm not, if it's going to scare me, I'm probably hiding. But the movie that I would say comes to mind, and the one you just discussed, the movie that comes to mind for me that seems like a movie that may be in a similar genre, it's not the same exact story, but the feel of it is, that what was that movie last year with the deaf child and the monsters kind of with that family, like in a rural setting? What was that movie called? It was a big, huge hit movie, like an unexpected hit movie.
Yes, that was, hold on a second, I got it. It's the silent one where the whole movie is quiet, right?
Right. Yeah, that movie, that was like a horror movie that had there was a certain word you used just now in your review that I would say, you know, conjured up that movie for me.
Like a good psychological thriller that left you unsettled.
Yeah, and you had an organicness, or there were certain words you were using that, you know, that was the movie I thought of as you talked.
Oh my God, it's going to drive me absolutely crazy now. What the hell was the name of that movie? Because John Krasinski was in it.
Yeah, John, exactly. That's the movie.
And A Quiet Place. That's it.
A Quiet Place.
I kept thinking Bird Box because that was the Netflix version of it that came out.
See, so A Quiet Place is a good example. Like, this is how I am about horror movies. That thing was getting great reviews. It came out during a soft period of time, if I recall.
Right.
There was not much to see. And I was really on the fence about whether I could handle seeing it. Like, I didn't know if I can sit in a theater and not be, you know, jumping through the ceiling, you know, trying to escape the back exit or something, and watch this thing. So I sat in the back row, like I often do. I think that might have been the movie where I was sitting. Yeah, it may have been. I can't say for sure it was that movie, but it might have been the movie where I found myself by accident sitting next to the comedian Larry Miller.
Oh, sure.
And Larry Miller has a very distinct speaking voice. And he and I aren't friends. I mean, we're not enemies, but I don't know. Larry Miller and I don't know each other, but he happened to be sitting next to me in the theater. I'm pretty sure it was that movie. And if it wasn't that one, it was something I saw around that time, but suffice to say, I'm in the back row. He's there with his teenage son, and you know, before the movie, during the trailers and things, he's having conversation with the son. The lights go out, and every so often, he explaining something to the son. And it's just funny because he's hearing that Larry Miller kind of lectury delivery. Well, son, you know, like it's clearly comedian Larry Miller's very distinct, certain voice explaining things throughout this movie. You're trying to...
I love, like I said, those are original movies. However, with that said, Babadook was an original movie that I still want to beat the writer and director with that print of the movie until they can't speak again. Does that make me a bad guy, David?
No.
Yeah,
smart.
Well, let's get started. Monstrosity Podcast, how can people listen? How often is it out?
It's out about once a month. They can listen just anytime you visit monstrositypodcast.com. You're besieged by links to all the places you can find it, which is basically everywhere. And you pick up on whatever place you like to listen to podcasts, whether it's Stitcher, Apple, or Google, or TuneIn, or whatever else. I just noticed the other day I was in a Mercedes, and I saw that TuneIn is built into the Mercedes now. And if you just type in the word monstrosity on the TuneIn player, bam, there I am with my logo. So I'm built into the Mercedes now.
That's nice. So that means Midnight in the Desert's built into the Mercedes. And
yes,
I bet Podcast One is probably built into the Mercedes because I think they go through TuneIn as well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wasn't realizing that. It's got everybody. I was thinking that this is really kind of like a special selection of some kind. So I felt like, you know, this is a pretty upscale podcast now. Like I could tell people that. But anyway, yeah, it's on monstrositypodcast.com. There's links to all those sort of things. And there's also a link to special bonus content on the site because we started a Patreon thing where I do little bonus things like give you my inside thoughts on the most recent episode. I'll, you know, share with you, I record like a little thing from my home studio where I just share, you know, some of the inside stories, inside things. Like here's just one quick one. We had Kenny Banya from Seinfeld, Steve Heitner, who played Kenny Banya. So we had him on, and it was on the Jan Harzan MUFON episode. And I didn't talk about it during the show. I didn't acknowledge it. And he did it so quietly that no one would have known. But I talk about it on the Patreon, inside thoughts thing where I record like my inside thoughts after the show. He's the only guest yet in the whole history of the podcast to just get up and walk out of the studio in the middle of an interview and just leave the room with no explanation. And I remember sitting there thinking, the hell's going on? Kenny Banner just walked out. I didn't know what problem had just happened. Did the UFOs piss him off? I didn't know what just happened. And then he just reappeared again, like 3-4 minutes later. Turned out he just went to the men's room, but there were three minutes in that interview where I'm thinking, well, Banny is really not, he's having a big problem with the MUFON guy. This is crazy.
Well, you've got a cool tap into a bunch of the different celebrities and the experiences and things that they're willing to share. Have you been surprised at how willing they are to talk about these?
Amazed. I don't make it a condition of being on the show. I don't tell them, or my assistant doesn't tell. No one tells them. Listen, you we'd like to have you on the show. Do you have a paranormal story? And then if they don't, okay, well, thanks. You get one and call us back. That kind of thing. It's right. If Jennifer Aniston calls and she wants to be on the show, she's on the show. That's it. It doesn't matter to me whether she has had a paranormal incident or not. As long as she wants to show up, we'll cover that part. We'll always have a paranormal oriented guest on the phone. Be it Matt Moneymaker or the MUFON guy or other people we've had. I usually work a little game show into the podcast. So, we've done, did a Bigfoot Do It, which is like a game that's premised on me explaining to the guests various outlandish sort of sounding things that has a Bigfoot ever been seen doing this, throwing an apple at a truck that drove by or whatever. And they sit and, think it out in Jeopardy style, kind of think out loud, answer the question. And then I reveal whether or not that happened. And if it did, I read the story of the source, where it came from. If it didn't, it didn't. But we have little game shows like that. We do little paranormal game shows to keep the paranormal theme going before we get to the phone guest. So the long and short of that is that it doesn't matter if Jennifer Aniston has a paranormal story. I'm going to bathe her in paranormal and other things. And you know, they, in spite of there being no demand that they have paranormal anything, they keep coming in with paranormal stories. It's blowing my mind. I mentioned Kenny Banya a second ago, Steve Heitner. His wasn't so detailed, but he did just happen to have a situation where he said that his sister was always seeing ghosts in the house growing up, and that he was always, you know, not believing her, and the parents gave the kid a hard time, I think, about it. But, you know, like, the sister repeatedly talked about seeing entities in the house when he was growing up. And, in fact, he grew up very close to where I grew up. He's a little older than me. He's maybe 5, 10 years older than me, but he grew up within 5, 10 minutes of me. So just the idea that we, you know, grew up in very similar neighborhoods, very close by each other, even though he was 10 years earlier, that alone frightened me, that he had ghosts in the house 10 minutes away from me.
Did he have any understanding of why it might be haunted or what was going on?
No, that's what I mean. His wasn't very detailed. Some of the people had really detailed stuff, like Lydia Cornell from Too Close for Comfort, the ABC
show. Oh, I loved her, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so she...
With Ted Knight.
With Ted Knight, right. So people, whenever I mention Lydia and I mention Too Close for Comfort, most people will respond, yeah, okay, now is she the blonde or the brunette? That's always the question, you know?
The blonde.
And the blonde is the answer. So Lydia Cornell came on. Again, I had no idea that she had anything paranormal to say. First, at some point in the course of, like, the early part of the show, she just kind of mentions in passing that she saw a Bigfoot, like in Oregon or someplace. And we were in the middle of something when she said it. We were, like, very at the height of a particular element of the show. I don't recall what. And I just said, oh, okay, we got to come back to that. Well, that's in my notes. We're coming back to it. And then I never got back to it. So now I have to have Lydia Cornell back because I didn't remember to to go back to the Bigfoot thing. But what did come up in detail later on in the show, she talked about, she grew up in El Paso, I think. And she talked about that when she was about 9 years old, she was at a slumber party or something. And she disappeared from the slumber party and was found like 2 or 3 hours later in a yard 2 or 3 blocks away in her pajamas with no idea how she got there. And the detail.
She just vanished?
Yeah.
And appeared somewhere else? So was she a sleepwalker, did she say? Was this something normal for her?
I think she said she felt compelled to go out the front door and just walk out the front door or the back door of the house for a second, and then she doesn't remember anything else. And then she turned up a few blocks away hours later, still in the pajamas with no recollection of how she got there.
Wow.
It had alien abduction written all over it.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I said to her, you were abducted by aliens. And she goes, you think so? I said, I'm positive. I said, this story just screams alien abduction. I said, how old were you in the time? She goes, 9. I said, all right, well, looking at you, I can tell you now that I'd have much better questions if you were 21.
Right.
but still, you're abducted. and that was a good one. Unexpected. You know, I'm sitting here with somebody who was a full-blown alien abductee, and I didn't know that was going to happen.
Obviously because aliens are a fan of good 70s TV, and she did, I think, like 8 episodes of Fantasy Island or 8 episodes of Love Boat and a couple episodes of Fantasy Island. No wonder they want to check in on her.
Yeah. Listen, Lydia Cornell, I mean, one of the recurring themes of the show, and it's happening by accident. As much as it would look deliberate to the audience, and I'm glad I'm getting to clear this up. You just brought something up that I'd like to clear up to the general public. It's looking like I did this intentionally, and I didn't. The show just inadvertently is booking all of my teenage crushes, one after the next. It's literally as if we booked the show from walking around my teenage bedroom looking at the posters on the wall and going, get her in here.
Oh, yeah, that's completely accidental. I understand.
It started off, I'm going to say it had a little bit of deliberateness. Lydia Cornell, for example, was one of those, definitely. Okay? But what's weird is that, okay, so we reached out to many, many people to do the show. Let's say 150 different celebrities have been contacted about doing the show. And let's say that, 20 have, been trying to set up a date or have done a date or have been responsive. Of those 20, for some reason, the batting average is extraordinarily high amongst incredibly hot women of the 80s.
Yeah, I know. We've kind of lucked out with that as well on the show. I think through the time I had a chance to talk to Erin Gray. You know,
Erin Gray is one that doesn't respond to us, but I'd love to have her on.
Kelly LeBrock. I got to stand in front of Kelly LeBrock as she told me her paranormal stories, and I just had this glazed over look, and as we got done recording, she goes, "Are you okay?" And I go, "I'm sorry." I said, "My God, you're even more beautiful in person." And she absolutely radiated light and gave me this huge hug and said, "Thank you." But it was like, I just got a hug from Kelly frickin' LeBrock. It was amazing. And then we've had Kelly Maroney, who I had a huge crush on through high school. She was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Night of the Comet, right. One of my favorite horror movies. It's been a cool little onslaught of getting to meet and talk to some. So I feel you, man. This is a good job to have if you want to talk to beautiful women that were major celebrities in the 80s, because they're available to chit-chat and they've all got weird paranormal stories.
Yeah, and then your cell phone starts ringing, you know, in your real life with, it's still kind of Lonnie Anderson. You're like, Lonnie Anderson's calling me? Yeah. We even had an episode. Episode 7 was two Playboy Playmates. I had the Playboy Playmate of the Year from 2016, Eugenia Washington, and I had a comedian that I know around L.A. who was in Playboy in the 80s. So I just, like, thought, you know, because we usually have a comedian on, too, so I thought, you know, let her be the comedian, since she was in Playboy, it stays in the theme, and Playboy Playmate of the Year 2016 was there in that episode, so that was also Beautiful Women. They didn't have a thing to add to the topic, but they were there.
Well, that's kind of adding something to the topic, if you ask me. All right. Yeah, well, you have Playboy Playmates on the show. Did they have any paranormal activity at all? I know the Playboy Mansion is supposedly pretty haunted.
Yeah, no, they just knew nothing. I mean nothing.
Yeah, that's or they're not willing to tell. Yeah,
no, not really. They did not have any paranormal stuff to add. They did add ridiculously naive questions to the Bigfoot expert we had on the phone, who seemed to get frustrated with them. So it was funny listening to the Bigfoot guy, you know, cynically just respond to Playboy girls like, "What? What do you mean? Do I think that it's all one guy, or are there many Bigfoot?" Like to hear him just get exasperated with these Playboy women was funny.
Good times. Let's talk about some of your other favorites. So now I got to know, since you're talking celebrities, Bigfoot, and all the fun stories, you talked to Peter Brady about Loch Ness Monster. Is that right?
Yes, Peter Brady was good. He did not have any paranormal stories that I recall from the episode.
Christopher Knight, but he was
very bright. He had I don't know his background, but he almost seemed like an engineering student type. Like I wouldn't be surprised to read that he went to MIT or something. He just was like science minded and bright. And when we had the Loch Ness Monster guy on the phone, like he was, you know, he had good deep questions and not. From a really cynical, sarcastic kind of, you know, comedic point of view, just like in a sciencey way, in a heady way. And somehow accidentally that interview turned funny. It actually became, we lost control of the interview. Normally the paranormal interview is relatively serious because I'm really serious about the paranormal stuff. And I've got my own experiences that we've talked about on an earlier episode of this show. And I like to, you know, ask, you know, well thought out questions that I've got for these guys. I went into the Loch Ness Monster interview intending to handle it that way. It was a guy named Andy McGrath from Beasts of Britain. And he was on the phone from the UK. He had just been at Loch Ness for like a week up until a day or so before that. And when we had him on, he kept mentioning some river that connects to Loch Ness, like some river that shoots off of it called the River Oy. And every time you mentioned the River Oy, it somehow got funnier and funnier. The interview quickly turned Yiddish. at Peter Brady enjoying that. And then at some point, I mean, it had gotten so off the rails that I you know, I seriously asked Andy how the Loch Ness Monster feels about Brexit. So it just...
So you began interviewing Nessie herself, huh?
Yeah. That's not the kind of question I normally would ask a guy like that. Like, I wouldn't have asked Tarzan some silly question like that, I don't think. But the guy just wouldn't stop saying the river Oi and the heavy accent, and the interview went off the rails. The best overall paranormal story from anyone in the celebrity zone so far has been from Lonnie Anderson.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear Lonnie Anderson's paranormal encounter. But first, my friends, listen. If you're tired of paying expensive prices for TV and movies, well, then check out Pluto TV. It's the leading free streaming television service. You heard me right. Free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. No credit card needed, no sign up. Pluto TV is easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today. Your Roku, your phone, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere else that you stream, you'll find Pluto TV. We'll be back with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
It was a crime no one expected, and one many can't forget. 22 Hours, An American Nightmare, a new podcast from WTOP News and Podcast One, details the heinous murders of a D.C. power couple, their 10-year-old son, and housekeeper inside their own home. The chilling messages from the victims being held hostage.
Hey, Nelly, it's Sava.
The complicated trail of evidence and shocking moments from the trial.
She thinks she knows how Darren Wint got inside the house.
His defense team drops a bombshell.
Will this investigation lead to the release of confidential audio recordings from the case?
So it's under general counsel review. I mean, I'm committing to making a transparent court.
22 Hours, An American Nightmare. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts today.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to the program. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That guy over there, that's Tim Dennis, and we want to meet you. So we're going to start driving to your house right now. Make sure to open the door and have cookies ready because we're going to be voracious. You know what? That's probably not going to work, Tim. Visiting every one of these amazing listeners all around the world and Canada,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
But we have made ourselves readily available so people can drive out to see us. We're going to be at many different events throughout the year, including the Michigan Paracon. I believe this is their 10th anniversary paranormal conference. It is loaded with paranormal celebrities from just about every paranormal show you could imagine, past, present, and future programs. You can check it out. All the information's at darknessevents.com, darknessevents.com. And that maybe, I think that's one of the only times this year we're going to be together at one of these conferences, Tim.
Well, there's Michigan and Chicago. And then,
oh, that's right.
Yep. And then, of course, the Jericho Cruise in January.
Jericho Cruise almost sold out.
Yep.
If you love wrestling and rock and rolling and a little paranormal knowing, then you definitely want to be throwing in with us. Huh? Did you see the way I did that, Tim? That was kind of an 80s, you know, a wrestling kind of lead up, I think, there. But we're going to be out on the Jericho Cruise again with a lot of your favorites. And man, there's some big names. Diamond Dallas Page, Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Was it Jake the Snake Roberts? Did I read that right?
You did. You got Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and X-Pac, otherwise known as the NWO. You've got Booker T. You've got,
Kenny Omega. Isn't Kenny Omega coming back?
Kenny Omega and all of the Elite
we forgot.
AEW. Yep.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair's on board.
Yep.
Plus Tim and I. We'll be in there as well, tag teaming each other.
Pardon me?
Paranormal.
What?
We're going to be paranormal talking. We're going to tag team and telling stories and having some fun.
I was going to say, are you leaving the wife home, or what's the deal?
No, I am, actually. She's not going to be going with me on this trip, but I will have, I think, one or two of my boys with, because we're going to make it a man's weekend, Tim.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to be drinking Kool-Aid, sitting by the pool, and watching men in tight spandex roll around. Maybe this isn't a good idea to bring my sons to after all.
Probably.
No,
not.
We're all going to be there. We're going to have a lot of fun. So come on out and check it out. The Jericho Cruise in January, and I think they're about 90% sold out. It was so much damn fun last year. It's a four-day cruise to the Bahamas with a stop in Nassau, Bahamas, and we get a chance to get off the ship, have a lot of fun, do some cool stuff, and then cruise back home. So check that out. Michigan Paracon, Chicago Paracon. There's a couple other little events I'll be popping in and out of. And to remind everybody, I'll be updating you very soon on the new TV show that I'm going to be a part of on Travel Channel. They're keeping it hush-hush right now. The rollout will probably happen sometime in August or September. The series should begin airing in the beginning of October, which you can't ask for a better date to launch a paranormal TV series than October, Tim.
Very true, yeah.
So I'm very excited and proud of this project, and it's in great hands. I've heard wonderful things about the first couple episodes that have been submitted. The network loves them. They love the shape of the and feel of the show, that it's something different. I felt very proud of being a part of, is that they're doing this in a kind of a different way than they do most other shows. So that's all exciting news. I'll let you know more, I promise, as we get closer to air date. And as soon as they legally let me tell you more, that's when I'll start doing it. And then I think we're going to try to figure out a way here to do a screening in Minnesota when the show finally launches, Tim.
That'll be awesome.
So, yeah, that'll be another opportunity to see Tim and I. We'll try to see if we can get a cool venue to show it and bring people in, drink, eat, and be merry, and watch the launch of the new TV program. So we'll keep you in mind and keep us in mind for that. But in the interim, go check out darknessevents.com, darknessevents.com for all of your information on all of the upcoming places you can see Tim and I, or one or the other one of us, on the road this year. All right, we're back. David Race, our guest, he is the host of Monstrosity Podcast, and he's been talking with celebrities, getting some, he's rubbing it in our noses, Tim, that he's got cool celebrities, and all we get is David Race.
Jeez,
that's
yeah. Yeah.
So you said one of the weirdest stories, flat out, paranormal, came from Lonnie Anderson from WKRP, which is another reason I wanted to get into radio, hoping to meet my own Jennifer.
Yep. Yeah. It's funny. As a kid, when I'd see that show, I didn't understand it the way I do now as an adult. I watch it now, and you haven't worked in radio. I worked in radio before. I was a comedian for a long time, and it's like a documentary to watch it now. We lived that life.
It really is.
I've been to those supermarket promotions, and I know that sales guy.
It's a remarkable show, and it holds up. And I think you can find it on Amazon and a couple other places to watch it free streaming. So check it out. All right. So what was Lonnie Anderson, of course, the former wife of Burt Reynolds, who we lost last year. What was her paranormal encounter?
Well, again, this is the best example, not only in terms of the story, but in terms of, like, I had no idea this was coming. She just, as far as I know, Lonnie Anderson's coming in. She has nothing to add on the paranormal front. She's just coming in, and then, bam, she hits us with the most detailed paranormal story of anybody in the whole show. She told us about that she was filming the Jane Mansfield story in 1980. Where she played Jane Mansfield. It was a TV movie. And Arnold Schwarzenegger played her boyfriend, her husband, in that movie. Since she told the story, I went back and watched it. But she did mention that also. And they were filming at Jane Mansfield's actual house, the house she really lived in, which at the time of the filming was owned by Engelbert Humperdinck, the singer. So they were filming at her at Jane's real house. They wanted particularly access to, I think, a heart-shaped pool or something that was famous that Jane had in the backyard that would be important in certain scenes. And so they were filming a pool scene out there. And after the scene, Lonnie wanted to get a shower and go on to wherever they had to go next, whether it was another part of the shoot or whether they were done for the day, I don't know. But she wanted to get a shower. Engelbert Humperdinck had strict rules that no one is to use the house. There's you know, crew bathrooms or whatever else outside. But he made exception for Lonnie because, you know, Lonnie Anderson in 1980 wanted to use a shower in Engelbert Humperdinck's house. And
yeah.
Humperdinck said yes. Yes. I don't hear anything shocking here at all.
For the record, in 2019, if Lonnie Anderson wanted to use my shower, she'd have permission to do so.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So,
and I have been compared to being the Engelbert Humperdinck of 2019. So all makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I stopped the story right here, just that, you know.
Yeah, that's weird enough. Want, right?
Yeah, that's it. The story's done. And I really
shower
want the rest of the story.
Yeah. All right.
So she wanted to use the shower. So he gives her permission to go in. There's no one else in the whole house. No one. And she goes to, like, the upstairs bathroom. She locks the bathroom door, gets undressed. She's standing naked in the bathroom upstairs. Lonnie Anderson, naked.
Slow the story down, please.
Yeah. That's the joke we're going for. I love that you caught it. Anyway, the long and short of it, she ends up seeing an apparition come into the room, and it appears to her to be Jane Mansfield. And she absolutely has a strong sense that it's Jane Mansfield staring at her in the shower. And my first question right after she asked that was, you know, are you sure it was a ghost? She said, yes, I could have been a ghost photographer. That was funny.
I'm with you.
Yeah. But she really was convinced it was Jane Mansfield. Later on, she told, and she was a little freaked out about it. Later on, she told Engelbert the story. You know, an hour later, she told him the story. And he said that he regularly smells the perfume brand all over the house that Jane Mansfield was known to wear.
That's pretty uncanny. So Engelbert does believe that Jane Mansfield's spirit still lingered at that house at that time.
Yes. And since then, I've done some reading on this, and I get the impression that Jane Mansfield had a kind of conflicted life. Like that there's potentially some dark things in her life, and it all added up that it would make sense that this would be a restless spirit.
That's pretty cool. Now, you know, to hear somebody kind of relate back a story, especially when they're playing that character in a movie, was she kind of impacted or freaked out by that fact, realizing that, you know, here she's representing Jane Mansfield and now she seemed
freaked out by it. I mean, definitely, it sounded like it wasn't a long shower.
All right. Now, what when you're casting out your net for these celebrities, you said that you don't have any idea whether they're going to come to you with supernatural or not.
Right.
Now, you had a chance to talk to Tim Reed from WKRP as well, right? Venus Flytrap.
That was on the same episode. Yes, that's an interesting one because when we booked Lonnie, we thought, why don't we try to get somebody else from KRP to just kind of pop in on it? Because I was surprised that we had the most famous person from the show committed to doing the show. So I thought, you know, I should have a pretty easy time getting some of the other people. So we threw the net out to basically all of them. Never heard back from Andy. Never heard back from Herb. Not sure if I tried to reach Les Nessman.
What about Dr. Johnny Fever?
Dr. Johnny Fever did not hear back. Don't recall if I was able to if we were able to locate contact info for Bailey Quarters. And then Tim Reed, of course, was in that group of people that we threw the net out his way also. Tim Reed was the one quickly back to us with, yeah, absolutely, I'll call in to talk to her. And then during the show, you can hear that he says something like, I think I thanked him for being on the show, whatever. And he says something like, I'll do anything for Lonnie. You know, wherever Lonnie is, I'll go, you know. And that's the overall impression I got of that cast. Lonnie said it on the show, and she said it to me off the air also, that the WKRP cast were just in love with each other. They could barely stand being away from each other. That when they would go on Christmas break or whatever, they would still just hang around together. I mean, that's probably one of the reasons that show is so good. You know, when you have a cast with that kind of chemistry, you're usually golden.
Right. Oh, that's awesome to hear. All right. Well, who, what other celebrities have you encountered and strange stories? But first, you know, just for our listeners on this show, have you had experiences with the paranormal?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talked about, I think, a year or so ago on your show, my own Bigfoot incident upstate New York, where I was in the area of Whitehall, New York, same county, not the specific town Whitehall, but the county Whitehall is in is Washington County, New York. I was up in that town, county, in a different town, you know, way up in the woods in a property my father owned at the time, deep in the woods on a 55-acre property, no neighbors, you know, in a mile or more in any direction. And they were 2,000 feet down a mountain, you know, when at 3:30 in the morning, we had a unbelievably loud, hard pound at the wall right near our heads that were in the bedroom we were sleeping in this log cabin. And there's nothing that could be out there, and certainly nothing that can reach 10, 11 feet high and boom, hit this wall. Like, I mean, two choices. No, there were three potential things. It's a Bigfoot, it's a meteor, which would have still been there when I woke up, you know, or it's a freight train that, I don't know, runs through the woods. I mean, nothing else could have done this. This was the loudest, strongest, heaviest hitting boom against that wall you could ever have. And people who study Bigfoot know that that's typical Bigfoot behavior. Now, after I told you that story, because I told you that story on the show around the time we were doing the first episode of the podcast, and on episode 3 of the podcast, we had Matt Moneymaker on, and I told him that story. And he not only listened to all the details and is convinced it was a Bigfoot and that the area I was in is a Bigfoot hotbed and, you know, all that sort of stuff, but he also went back into the BFRO database. Since he, you know, he started the BFRO, he can access all of their secret records and reports. And he found the report that I sat for, the interviews that I sat for about it at the time, you know, which was in about 2007-08. He found in their notes the transcript from the two-hour interview I did with their investigator. And, you know, they know what sort of questions to ask and how to expose, you know, who's lying and who's for real, and, you know, what other details of the incident. And his determination, reading the report from that time and talking to me, you know, currently on the podcast, is that that was a Bigfoot. There's nothing else that could have been, which I agree. He's right. So there's my Bigfoot incident. And then there was a different thing. It was a UFO incident here in L.A. a couple years ago where I was driving in the Sherman Oaks area headed towards Burbank when I saw, you know, five or six very stationary silver kind of dot objects in the sky in daylight, just very, very high up, kind of moving around each other in different patterns, changing positions every so often, coming nearer to each other, kind of one separating, then two others coming near each other again, and just kind of all of this at a tremendous height without the normal looking flight pattern of anything that we would know conventionally. It was so strange. I pulled the car over and stared at it for 5 minutes. And then I tried to sort of catch exactly where it was. I sort of headed in the direction it was in, thinking I'll get right under it and then I'll be able to really know it's right above me. But I lost sight of it as I drove.
See, that's something I wish I could see in regular real world. The UFO encounters I've had have been up at Trout Lake, Washington, in remote places where I'm nowhere near civilization, but I'd love to have this shared experience just in a city-like environment, because I think that's got to be, I mean, if you're driving on the highway in a major area to have something like that happen, that's, you know, pretty cool. Did anybody else seem to be witnessing this or following as well?
It was so hard to tell if they were or weren't. I was, they were, first of all, these were really high up. At least, unless they were really tiny, the height looked extraordinary. So it wouldn't be something immediately noticeable to somebody. You know, and they're not as large looking to the human eyes like an airplane going by. They were like dots. I don't even remember why I specifically noticed them. Maybe I was at a traffic light just kind of looking. I remember they were east of me. So I was at a traffic light just sort of looking in the clear sky. And I was like, what are those silver dots kind of moving around? You know, and that's how it caught my attention. You'd have to really just somehow have noticed it and then start being interested in it. I could see people potentially might have noticed it and then just not been as knowledgeable on the topic as maybe I was, and not think much of it, and just go, oh, what's that? Okay, whatever. You know, then just carry on their way to Costco, you know. But I was aware immediately that that's possibly what I think it is, you know, and I became interested enough to pull over and stare at it.
All right. Now, talk to me about some of the other celebrity stories that, you know, that you have been able to uncover on the show so far.
Yeah, we had Robert Carradine from Revenge of the Nerds on episode 10, which is the episode that's currently airing, actually. And again, another guy that didn't tip us off at all that he has anything unusual in this zone to talk about. And then all of a sudden during the show, he tells us about how he was at lunch or something with a friend, and they were at a diner, and the friend gave him some kind of news about somebody that angered him. You know, gave him information about somebody that maybe an arch rival was doing something that he couldn't believe he was doing. He was, you know, he wanted to do that project or whatever. You know, something that really really infuriated him at that moment. And as he was feeling the anger about whatever it was that he had been told, he just was staring with fury at the glass of water in front of him. And he's just staring down at it, listening to the guy continue to tell him this story that's, you know, making him so angry. And his eyes have not come off this glass. And he's just staring at it, you know, thinking that he's thinking through the story, like, damn it, I can't believe this, you know, while he's staring at this glass and feeling all this rage and anger. All of a sudden, the glass just explodes into a million pieces.
So he was having a psychokinetic moment.
Yeah. I mean, he's like Kreskin.
That's pretty, well, dude, Kreskin's a little bit more passive. You know, he just bends spoons. This guy's shattering glasses.
You know, we quickly started speculating that, you know, Carradine might be capable of bending spoons, like that he, you know, keep him away from your silverware. I mean, he's, you know, anything can happen with Carradine.
You know, that's interesting. As a teenager, I remember being completely freaked out by this. You know, I don't know if your family ever did this. My dad used to like to frost our glasses. So you'd wash the glasses, you'd rinse them underneath water, and then stick them in the freezer. And then you'd pour your soda in it, you know, keep it colder longer. But you'd always get that kind of weird lumpy ice at the bottom of your glass, so the glasses would slide across the table if you let them. So my dad and I were sitting at the kitchen table and having something to eat, and I went to reach for my glass, and my hand wasn't even on it yet, and just my hand was in that, like, C formation to reach for the glass, and the glass began to move away. And I thought, oh, maybe it was just the wind for my hand pushing it enough that it set it on its sail with the little ice underneath. And it's cruising for the corner of the table, and my dad goes, don't let it fall, it's going to break. And as he said that, the glass is inches from my hand, just shatters on the table and hits the ground. And so it shatters before it even falls, before anything happens. And my dad and I both just kind of sat there like, what the hell just happened? And of course, logically, you're trying to figure out, all right, well, maybe it was so cold and it's so hot inside. You know, we didn't have central air conditioning, but that didn't make sense either. That's just not how things work. And it was a really bizarre moment, but it was another one of those, just as he yells, don't let that thing break, it just shattered.
Listening to that story, I think the least sensible conclusion made in the whole story was the, quote, wind from your hand.
Well, you don't think that it's something paranormal, right? You're thinking, oh, it must have been the force of my masculine teenage arm reaching for that glass. And screw you, David Race, I was a powerful teenage man. I was a man child.
There's been others, you know, with some paranormal stuff on my show too. Mary Kennedy, who was on Shameless, she played new Fiona on Shameless. She talked about, in episode 3, I think, she talked about that she grew up in a haunted house. That she grew up in Massachusetts in a house that had a lot of things going on in the ghost genre. And she didn't know it at the time, but later on, some research was done or something, and it was determined that her house had actually been built over an ancient Native American graveyard. And when I heard her say that, and she told me that, and Tom Clark was the comedian on the episode with us, He immediately responded that the house he lives in now, is over a current Native American graveyard, which I just found funny. Okay.
Wait a minute, I got a slow rumble. So, but did she get into what kind of activity would actually take place there?
I think her and her grandmother seemed to just, you know, see apparitions and, you know, doors shutting and things, you know, the sort of garden variety ghost stuff. that would, you know, things that shouldn't happen on their own, happening their own, you know, a hand wind, stuff like that.
Wow, Tim, do you hear the way this guy's busting my balls because I've got force alarms that reach for a glass and send it flying?
Yeah, he doesn't recognize your awesome teenage power. I don't get it. Yeah,
I was 11 before 11 was cool on Stranger Things.
Man. Yeah, yeah, I recognize it. I mean,
I might be off a little bit, quite a bit, actually. Yeah. To be.
And then I got two more.
Okay.
Unless it's break time, I got more.
No, there's no more breaks. We're rolling through. Right. You tell us your stories. Right. We're saying goodbye.
So in episode two, we did a really weird episode in episode two. I had this idea that I'm not going to book an actual celebrity and a comic. I'm going to book a comic and someone playing a celebrity. And I just had this whole construct. I liked the idea. I'm not sure in execution it went quite as I planned, but it's fine. We ended up having a comedian on named Tom Becker that is great. And Tom does unbelievable impressions. So I had him come in as Mr. Furley from Three's Company.
John Knotts, yeah.
Yeah, but the key was, I said, I don't want to hear from Don Knotts in terms of, like, don't say anything that Don Knotts would say. Don't say anything that the Mayberry guy would say. Say only things Mr. Furley would say. In other words, the point of view is you're Mr. Furley. You're that human being. You're not Don Knotts, you're not the Mayberry guy. You're Mr. Furley. And he came in as Mr. Furley, which I renamed him Mr. Unfurley for copyright reasons. And I had this construct going that every time he spoke, no matter what he said throughout the show, throughout the entire show, serious, not serious, no matter what he said, at the end of every sentence, there were strong, loud, thunderous sitcom laughs.
Nice.
So anyway, Tom, towards the end of the show, revealed himself as Tom Becker, and we talked to Tom Becker, the man, not Mr. Unfurley. And he came out of nowhere with an alien abduction story. He appears to have been abducted by aliens while he was in college.
Really?
He told the story, but yeah, it was similar to Lydia Cornell's story, except he wasn't a little girl. He was more, you know, like 20, but it was a similar kind of thing where he was like compelled to walk outside and walk away from the group, or whatever, at a party. And he saw something in the sky, and I don't remember all the details. It was episode two, so it was about a year ago that we recorded this, but I have to go back and listen. But he, the details of the story sound to me like another possible alien abduction revealed by a guest. And that was Tom Becker on episode two. Tom Becker actually is now, see, a lot of good things come to people from Montrose. Tom Becker just signed a deal to produce a movie that he and his wife have written and created with Fred Armisen starring in it. So he's hard at work on a movie project of his own with Fred Armisen at the center of the film. But yeah, before he became Fred Armisen's boss, he was abducted by aliens.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you have a good time talking to the celebrities about this stuff? And when, even if they haven't had their own experience, have they been pretty open-minded to the concepts and other people's stories?
Oh yeah. Definitely a common theme running through the thing is even if they're not particularly, you know, loaded with paranormal stories, like Carradine's story is short. It's that telekinesis kind of, you know, glass breaking story. It's not like as grand a paranormal story as, say, Lonnie Anderson's story. I get the impression that the celebrities who are doing the show are ones who are interested in these topics in general. They're ones who probably tend to watch UFO shows and Bigfoot shows and ghost shows. And they're people who have an interest in these topics. And I'm going to give your audience an advance tease that even my audience doesn't know this yet, because we haven't revealed this on our social media at all. So our own audience does not know the thing I'm about to tell your audience. And that is, who the guest is on the upcoming next episode, which will be episode 11 of Monstrosity. The episode should come out in a few weeks. The special in-studio guest on that episode does have a paranormal story, which I'll leave out for this call so that people hear it. But I'm going to tell you who the guest is. Ready?
Ready, willing, and able.
We need a drum roll here. This is another from the David Race Teenage Poster Wall Collection. An incredible thing to have this person in studio with you. Another iconic person, sort of like Peter Brady, is one of those just iconic people. Everyone in the world knows the Brady Bunch. In studio with us on episode 11, and yes, she had a paranormal story that you'll hear on the show. Daisy Duke herself, Catherine Bach.
What?
Yep.
You are just knocking them off the wall left and right, aren't you?
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal.
Now you just got to get somebody to channel Farrah, and you've hit the trifecta.
You mentioned Erin Gray earlier. I would love to get Erin Gray on the show.
Yeah, she runs a company called Heroes for Hire, and you might be able to reach her through that. And she's got a lot of celebrities like Gil Gerard and many others that were part of her stable that she might be able to connect you with as well. Yeah.
But Daisy Duke was great. She had a lot of fun on the show. And, you know, she, like Peter Brady, I kept calling her Daisy. I kept calling him Peter. I kept calling her Daisy because, when you're doing radio, there's no visual element. And you want the audience to really understand this is Peter Brady you're listening to.
Right.
If I'm going to keep calling him Christopher, it gets a little bit lost on the ears. It's hey, Peter, this, Peter, that. You know, and I did the same thing with her. I was calling her Daisy. Because it's freaking Daisy Duke sitting next to you. It's surreal.
You know, we had a chance. We visited with Dan Aykroyd a few times on the program. And Aykroyd, his whole family was into this. I believe it was his grandfather, his father, and him have all been purveyors of the provocative and paranormal. They've been involved in real research. And I know when we spoke to Peter Aykroyd before his passing and when his book had been released about the paranormal and his family's involvement, they had just made a pretty substantial donation of all of Peter Aykroyd's father's records and books to a college in Toronto, a university, with all of the findings and research into the paranormal they had. Aykroyd has several experiences. He had a UFO encounter. He's seen things moving around on his counter, doors opening and closing. And somebody actually crawled in bed with him once. And from my understanding, that was kind of the germination that became that scene in Ghostbusters when he's laying there in like that Commodore's uniform. Mm-hmm. And the ghost is hovering over him and his fly starts to go down. But the house that he owned at the time was formerly owned by Mama Cass.
Mm.
So I know in one of the stories, he goes, I think it was the other guy. I was alone in the house and decided to take a nap. I closed the door to the bedroom, but didn't lock it. I woke up. I saw the door open and I rolled over and looked at the bed and I saw a depression in the mattress, like somebody was getting in there. And I thought, I'm just going to roll over and snuggle up next to it. I'd be surprised if I was his type, but when you're dead, you'll take what you can get. As turns out, interest in the paranormal, like I said, goes through his entire family. His father wrote a book called A History of Ghosts, the true story of seances, mediums, ghosts, and Ghostbusters. And in it, he described the true events that inspired his son to have and create the Ghostbusters franchise.
Yeah, I've known from, I guess, interviews I've seen with him also that Dan Aykroyd is really into that stuff and knowledgeable on that stuff. I think the reason we haven't contacted him is, am I right that Dan is based on the East Coast?
I believe so, right.
Yeah, so that probably is what kept us from contacting, because we generally try to contact people who we are sure can come in. And I probably, just didn't have Dan on the radar thinking he's not, I can't predict when he's in Los Angeles. Not that he would never be here, but it's not a predictable thing. He's just here all the time. So that's probably, but I do know about his interest in that. I don't think I knew it nearly to the extent that you just told me. It's fascinating. I didn't know about his father, and I didn't know the specific Mama Cass story, but the general interest in the topic, I think I knew about that with him. And that's great when you can find a celebrity like that. We, to my knowledge, there was no one that we brought in that I, knew coming in the door have this amount of involvement and knowledge with it like he would.
Well, maybe you could tap Miley Cyrus out there. She had an encounter. I believe it was when she was living in London, and she ended up, it was so unnerving to her that they moved from the apartment that they were in into a hotel, because one night, according to her account, one night my little sister was standing in the shower, and all of a sudden I heard her scream bloody murder. I ran in there, and the water had somehow flipped to hot, but she hadn't turned it, and it was actually burning her. She was flaming red. And it was then that Miley Cyrus said that she turned around and she saw the image of a little boy. She could see the little kid sitting there on the sink, just kicking his feet. And
that's terrifying.
Yeah. After
Miley
that,
Miley Cyrus lives very close, I believe, to where we record this. I think she lives within 5-10 minutes of where we record this, which, you know, from being Los Angeles, that right there is an upsell. That's a big selling point to a celebrity. I mean, to say to a celebrity, listen, it's only a 5-minute ride, they can do this thing, is a big deal. I mean, because in most cases, you know, the first thing anyone in LA contemplates is, where do I have to go? How long will it take? What time is it?
Well, and she seems into the paranormal because she actually did more digging and found out that there was an older guy that owned the place when it was a bakery, and his son used to live there, and the wife died. So it was just the son and dad that lived in that bakery, and then the dad died, and the son took over the bakery, and she thinks she was just seeing kind of an out-of-time-and-place moment with the son, which, again, kind of, you know, bolsters up my theory that not all hauntings happen the way we think they do, that we may be touching those points in time and having experiences. That little boy might have been sitting in the bathroom and having a weird paranormal experience at that moment himself. And, you know, here he's seeing two girls in his bathroom during his living moments, and they're experiencing him in that kind of, and again, was it the hot water? Was it the running water? Was there something to it that opened up that that experience to them?
Yeah, these are great stories, and I would love to have her on. She'd be a fantastic guest. And those, you know, those stories are great and creepy, and they, again, involve a bathroom, something with the bathrooms with these apparitions, but no one has more of the dynamics of different things that you want to hear at all different emotional levels than naked Lonnie Anderson with Jane Mansfield standing in the
bathroom. You're right. You're right. You know, the other one that I liked was Carrie Fisher. Had a story. She said that I think it was at the time one of her friends had passed away, and the I'm trying to remember how it goes. Dang it! Let me see if I can pull it up here. Here's an article. It says the actress, best known for playing Princess Leia in the Star Wars saga, claims to have had an eerily personal experience with the paranormal back in 2005. At the time of her encounter, her good friend, 42-year-old Republican strategist named R. Gregory Stevens, was visiting her. After a late-night award show party, he crawled into Fisher's bed, where they chatted for a bit and both fell asleep. The next morning, Fisher awoke and found Stevens dead from an overdose. The situation was difficult enough, but later Fisher would hear odd noises in the house, and her friends heard them too. Fisher says that she always felt Stephen's presence after that frightful night, as Fisher recounted to Vanity Fair in 2006. Lights would go on and off, and this talking machine I had would just go off in the night by itself in my closet. This was the same closet in which Stephen's clothing still hung. A psychic later told Fisher that since Stevens was so abruptly and died so abruptly and so young, his soul was reluctant to accept his departure, and that's why his presence continued to live on in her home. And she implied that Stevens' ghost made her a bit crazy. She said she also understood the spirits need to stick around. In her appearance on the Celebrity Ghost Story TV show, Fisher said that for a ghost, it makes sense to stay around the people you love until it's time to accept things and move on. So it's pretty fascinating how many of the celebrities have had some kind of experience. And, you know, we've been lucky enough, and I'm probably going to try to do that when I hit some more of the conferences like Dragon Con and such, to sit back and talk to these celebrities, because so many of them have had weird encounters and have been totally willing to share their stories, which is kind of cool.
What jumped out at me in that one was her talking machine. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, Zach Bagans style, you know, ghost equipment, why did she have that?
No, I think she probably just had one of those toys that has a vocal box in it or something that, you know, or one of those.
Like pull the string and the cow says moo or something.
Exactly. There's a snake in my boot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool stuff. Monstrosity podcast, about once a month you put out the new one. We've got a link up to that on today's program. And David, it's always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for coming on and sharing some stories with us.
Yeah, very good. Enjoyed it.
All right. I will talk to you again soon. Everybody, take care. Be safe. And for those of our friends in California, you are in our prayers and our thoughts. And I just ask the rest of the world to keep protective thoughts for California and the surrounding areas that are being affected by these earthquakes, that things don't mount like they're afraid they might, and that we see the 7.1 from the other day just be the final one for a good long time. That's it for this week. Remember to check out the best in true crime talk radio. We're going to be back True Crime Tuesday this week, and we've got a doozy of a show, Tim.
Yeah, we do.
With True Crime Tuesday, this is about a horrific mass shooting that took place in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an unbelievable story, and there are a lot of bizarre twists and turns in this tale. And we actually... in talking about this, Tim, I'm going to document something for you to show, you know, we talk to so many people and you hear so many people discuss what they would have done in a situation like that.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think I'm going to give people a very unique perspective on what happens during these shootings and how what you think you might do and what you're capable of doing are two totally different things in those situations. So that'll be on Tuesday this week. I will warn people, because of the grim nature of that episode, and it's a dark episode, we will not be doing Dumb Crime, Stupid Criminals. We just felt it was not in the right vein to do something like that. But it will be a full episode, full, I think, 90-minute-plus episode of True Crime Tuesday. But Tim and I will be back again with you next week. I believe Steve DeShavi from TV's Dead Files will be our special guest next Sunday, Tim.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, very cool. So, plus we've got more supernatural news, parashare stories, and we want to hear your stories, folks. Give us a call, 651-300-4977, 651-300-4977. Call and leave your paranormal encounter on our voicemail. It's our Voices from Beyond voicemail. We want to hear your stories, and we'll share them on upcoming episodes as well. That's it for this week. Stay cool. We'll talk to you again next week right here on Beyond the Darkness.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.